You're listening to the Art of Med School bonus episode. Today we're going to be going over EKG interpretations. All right, this episode is actually a listener request. This is going out to our guy, our good friend of ours, and a listener, Roy, back in Lincoln, Nebraska. He messaged us asking us to go over EKG interpretations, and you know what? It's actually probably a really good idea. It's not all that difficult, especially for the stuff that you need just to kind of hit your bases. And so, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. First, I want to talk about, real briefly, the conduction system of the heart. And it's actually really cool. So there's the sinoatrial node that lives up in the right atrium of your heart. And that SA node, its job is to send out the signal for your heart to contract. And so it starts a signal, it makes the atrium contract, then it goes to the AV node. Now remember, the atrium, their job is to just pump blood down to the ventricles, right? So those contract first, which causes the ventricles to fill up with blood. So that our signal goes through the atrium, they contract, we hit the AV node, which lives between the atrial and the ventricles, hence the term AV node. And what it does is it holds it for a second, and not an actual second, but for a moment. Actually, that moment should be 0.2 seconds or less. And we'll actually talk about these numbers here. So it holds it for 0.2 seconds or less, and then it sends it down through some more branches, the bundle of his, that's not necessarily important right now. And then that causes the ventricles to contract, and it's the ventricles' job to send the blood out to the rest of the body. So it could be, if it's the right side of the ventricle, it's sending it to the lungs. If it's the left side of the ventricle, it's going to send it to the actual body proper. So those are actually, like, that's real, real basic information as far as the conduction system of the heart, but that's going to make this a lot easier to understand. So if you're looking at the EKG cheat sheet, this is available on our website, theartofmedschool.com or artofmedschool.com. If you go under the download section, it's one of the first ones that we uploaded in the under the cheat sheets section, physiology EKG interpretation. And this will give you kind of a construct of things to look for. And I spent a couple of years watching EKGs before starting med school. And honestly, even just monitoring people regularly, what you see on this cheat sheet is pretty much everything you need to know. This is all the stuff that you're going to see on a regular basis. So let's talk about the numbers real quick, or let's talk about just the look at the sinus rhythm, because that's kind of the standard EKG look that we're hoping to see. That first bump is the P wave, okay? The P wave is us seeing the atrium contract, okay? So it contracts, and that signal stays in the AV node for a moment, and that's that return to the baseline that we see. That's that pause after the P wave, before the QRS. The QRS is that big, big up and down part in the middle. Okay, so 0.12 to 0.2 is the goal that we want for that P wave to that QRS, and then we have that QRS, and that is the ventricles contracting. So we can actually visually see the amount of time that AV node is holding the signal from the sinus node. Okay, now that last bump, that's kind of a little bit longer and a little bit wide. That's the T wave. The T wave is the ventricles relaxing. That's right. The ventricles are so big, and the energy difference is so big for them to go back to a state of relaxation that they actually have a separate wave that we can see of them relaxing, which is kind of really awesome if you think about it. Now, we could probably see the atrial relax, probably. We're not 100%, but usually that would be buried in the QRS anyhow. So I've also seen P-wave asystole, where you can only see P-waves, and to be honest, I could never really see a bump after the P-wave that made it look like it was relaxing. So So let's look at the top right-hand side underneath where it says EKG cheat sheet. And we've got four steps there. And that's kind of what we go through to just do a quick overview, help us ballpark what it is. Okay? So I want you to keep those in mind as we talk about the different rhythms that we have here. Are there P waves? That's self-explanatory. Is there a P wave or not? Is it regular from beat to beat? Are you from QRS to QRS? Are you regular? Is it a consistent number? Is a QRS wide or narrow? Basically, is it less than 0.12 or is it bigger than 0.12 when you rate it? And then last, what is the rate? Okay, so those are the kind of things that we're going to be looking for when we would be analyzing an EKG. So the first one, we talked about this already, is sinus rhythm. The sinus rhythm is the top left. It has the P waves are present, and your PR is 0.12 to 0.20. Again, this is kind of the ideal that we're looking for. All of the QRS to QRS, all of that is regular. The QRS is narrow, which is 0.12 or less, and basically that's just saying that the ventricles, when they contract, are contracting quick enough that the whole thing is contracting in a very short amount of time. And we want that. We want, you know, a nice, big, powerful push to help, especially for the left ventricle, to help push all that blood through your body. And then the last is that it's 60 to 100 beats per minute. Pretty easy stuff. Now, this is something really cool that I'm just going to interject here because there are other types of sinus. There's sinus tach, sinus brady, etc. So 60 to 100, that's the goal, sinus rhythm. Over 100, 101 and above, tachycardia. Below 60, bradycardia, so 59 and below. Now, if you're looking at a pediatric patient, basically anyone under 16, you better be looking up your rates because it's not going to be 60 to 100. You know, I had a Bert come on one time. A Bert was the name of the it was the rapid response team. So there was an emergency going on, and I didn't know who the patient was yet, but I knew that their EKG was coming on. And it was like 180 to 190, and I was like, oh, my word, what's going on? And then I found out that the patient was like 3 years old. When you're actually, they were less than that. They were 18 months, I think. So when you're 18 months, 180 to 190, that's kind of normal. That's not necessarily a big deal. So that's sinus rhythm. Okay, so now the first thing that we're going to throw in as far as, oh man, what's going on, is a first-degree block. This is actually a really common thing to see. It looks exactly like sinus, except that the P wave comes earlier than in sinus. Or, if you could think about it better this way, that AV node is holding onto that signal for just a little bit too long. So that's making our PR interval greater than 0.20. So when we measure from the P wave to the QRS, it's more than 0.20. Remember, that ideal is 0.12 to 0.20. We're longer than that. That's a very simple first-degree block. So, and that's actually really common to see. You'll see that quite a bit, especially if you're watching EKGs. Okay, so then working our way down the list, we have junctional, which looks just like a QRS. Again, regular, same with first degree, but these are all regular, narrow QRS, and the first degree is 60 to 100, because that's basically sinus, we're just holding onto that signal for a little bit too long. Junctional, however, has no P waves, or you might see a PR interval of 0.11 or less. In fact, you could see a PR interval that is essentially negative, that the P wave comes after the QRS. Now, think back to our conduction system. The AV node is sometimes also referred to as the junctional node. It's the spot between the atrial and the ventricles, right? So, what's really, really cool is that sinus refers to sinoatrial. So sinus rhythm is sinoatrial. That's beating 60 to 100 beats per minute. If that stops for some reason, I think of this as the oh shit factor. Your heart has a backup pacemaker in that AV node. It can pace junctionally from that middle spot. And so if you hit under 60, that could kick in. If that sinoatrial node isn't firing for some reason and you start firing junctional, this is what you're going to see. There's no P waves because your atrium are not contracting. It's regular. It's a narrow QRS because nothing's screwed up in the ventricles, and it's 40 to 60 beats per minute. Now, interesting side note, the PR of less than 0.12 or a negative PR, essentially, that's actually that the junctional signal is sort of backtracking up into the atriums. So it's possible that they're contracting. It's also possible that you're not seeing it because it's in the T wave or it's buried in the QRS or something like that. But how cool is it that that signal can backtrack up into the atrium? Pretty darn neat. So now let's say that for some reason our sinus went out, now our junctional went out, and now we got our oh shit factor for real. Now we're pumping ventricularly. That's that next rhythm there. Again, we dropped our sinus, we dropped our junctional, your heart goes, oh shit, again. Where does that signal start coming from? It comes from the walls of the ventricles. And I think that is just, I was actually talking about this at med school today, about how incredibly badass I think that is, that your heart has those safety mechanisms built into it. That's so cool, you know? So the walls of your heart, the walls of the ventricles, rather, are now originating the signal. So all this should make sense. There's no P waves because, again, we're not contracting the atrium. It's just the ventricles. It's regular because nothing's really screwed up down there. The QRS, that's going to be wide because the without going super, super deep into things, the signal for or the length of the time it gets takes to go from one ventricle to the other is longer than if it had those, like, fast-track Purkinje fibers, what it would normally go through. So that's going to be wider than, or greater than a 0.12. And again, we're still backing off, essentially, from the 60 to 100, and then we had the backup at 40 to 60. Now this backup is 20 to 40. This is a bad rhythm to be in. You could be in a lot of trouble. All right, so now that we've gone through that way, let's talk about a little bit of the more weird irregular stuff that you could see. So going to the top right there, we have atrial fib. Basically what atrial fib is, it's sort of like sinus, except it's not at all. Actually, I totally take that back. Okay, so the signal is still happening up in the atrium, and that signal is going through down into the QRS or into the ventricles, so we're having a QRS. But instead of contracting regularly the atrium, it sort of just is like almost like sizzling. Like think of like rabbit quivers. Like if you've ever had someone have a seizure, it's kind of like that. And so we have no P waves because there's no actual contraction. It's just sort of weird fibrillations that are happening. Well, that's exactly what it is. It's because it's atrial fib, atrial fibrillation. But that's that weird stuff that's happening. So there's no actual P waves. Every once in a while, that signal is going through the AV node. So the but it's not. There's not a regular signal to send through, so our beats per minute are irregular. So if you count from QRS to QRS, you would actually want to write this out to get an idea of what's the slowest and what's the fastest. You usually still have a narrow QRS because there's nothing wrong with what's going on after the AV nodes. It's all up in the atrium. Now, as far as rates go, we call it controlled AFib if it's under 90 beats per minute. We call it uncontrolled if it's over 90 beats per minute. You're probably going to see mostly uncontrolled unless there's some kind of intervention already going on. And you can see this essentially all over the map as rates-wise. So now let's talk about atrial flutter. Atrial flutter is very similar, except that instead of like quite so much rabbit quiver, It's almost going, it's like the atrium are going really fast. And that signal is still a little uncontrolled. And it doesn't go through quite right. But your atrial flutter can come in a way that's like 2-to-1 or 3-to-1. So you have 3 P waves for every 1 QRS. And usually atrial flutter, the flutter waves are very regular. And they look like sawtooths. So if you've ever seen a sine wave or a sound wave that's like a sawtooth pattern. That's essentially what flutter waves look like. So you're not going to have P waves, but you're going to have flutter waves that may be regular because it could be the 2-to-1 where you have 2 flutter waves for every QRS. It could be 3 flutter waves for every QRS. Or it could be irregular where they're going through at kind of at different rates or different times. again, nothing's wrong with the QRS. Nothing's wrong with the ventricles. So we should still have a narrow QRS. And as far as the rate goes, it really varies on the conduction. It could be very slow. It could be very fast. This is pretty dependent. Another really, and atrial flutter, atrial fib, you're going to see that quite a bit. Second degree block type 1 is next on the list. These are terrible to keep in mind. If you ever see something like this and you don't know what it is, don't feel too bad as long as you can recognize that there's something wrong. That is one of the big things about EKGs, is you don't have to know all of this off the top of your head. Sure, it makes it a lot easier, but you're probably going to have a book or something to reference right next to you. So as long as you can make sure that this doesn't look right, this is not fib, and this is not flutter, and this is definitely not sinus, you know to go look up more and find out more. So second degree block type 1, what happens is, and we'll skip the whole physio part because I'm not even entirely sure of it yet, to be honest with you. But what happens is that PR elongates, and so you'll have one of, like, say, 0.08, and then it's 0.10, and then your PR is 0.15, and then all of a sudden, you skip a beat. You drop a QRS. So you're actually going to be pretty regular, except for where it's dropped beats. And one of the best ways to look at this is, or to see this, is to look big enough, like look at a wide enough swath. If you're seeing drop beats or extra P waves, try and figure out, is that a regular deal? If it happens regularly, then you're in a second degree block type 1. Again, nothing's wrong with the ventricles, so we still have a narrow QRS. And the rate, again, is dependent. It could be a tachycardic thing. It could be a bradycardic. It could be just normal. So that's type 1. Type 2 is second degree block type 2 is you have two P waves for every QRS. Now, this is a little bit different than what I was talking about with the 2-to-1 flutter because the P wave is usually kind of rounded or it might be M-shaped. It could be biphasic. Like, there's a few things it could look like, but it's not that flutter sort of look. And there's still a distinct PR for the ones that conduct. Where flutter waves, you can actually track that all the way through the QRSs. Because, like, in flutter, your atrium, man, they're doing their own thing. It doesn't really care what ventricles are doing. Second degree block type 2, it's still trying to communicate, still trying to do its job. It's just that we have two P waves for every QRS. So our rate is going to be regular because everything is that's happening is normal. Not normal, but, I mean, it's regular. Nothing wrong with the ventricles. So we have a narrow QRS. And again, rate is dependent. You can see this in all kind of situations. The last rhythm I want to mention is the wandering atrial pacemaker. This actually comes up more than you would think, and it's kind of a bizarre thing. I know when I was watching EKGs that we all kind of differed a little bit on this. I agreed with one of my coworkers, Jeremiah, who really wanted this to be he wanted when it's wandering atrial pacemaker, he wants it to be wandering atrial pacemaker because there's a lot of artifacts that can come in and make this make a rhythm look like WAP when it's really not. So what happens is the P waves. Well, let's talk about the physio real quick. The physio is that your sinoatrial node is what starts your beat in your right atrium normally. And wandering atrial pacemaker, your signal is still coming from the atrium, but it's not necessarily coming from that SA node. It can also come from the walls of the atrium. So that's what it refers to as far as it's wandering. It's moving all over the walls. Which walls? The atrium. And what is it doing? It's making the pace. So those P waves are going to be pretty consistently different shapes. And the literature used to be, it sounds like they're kind of getting away from it, but I think it's still generally accepted that you should have very distinct P waves, at least three distinct shapes. So one could be rounded, one could be, the first one is kind of rounded or kind of peaked, that second one is M-shaped, that third one on the cheat sheet is sort of biphasic. So those are very distinct and different looking ones. The variable PR is debatable. to me, it's I've seen it with and without, and I still feel comfortable calling it WAP without. And I would not say that a varial PR is necessary or is alone is good enough to call it WAP. I think you really need to have those different shapes to call it WAP. Your rate could be regular or irregular, just depending on how that signal is going through, so expect to see either. Again, nothing wrong with the ventricle, so you should have a narrow QRS. And a little side note, if it's under 100, we call it WAP, wandering atrial pacemaker. If it's over 100, we call it multifocal atrial tachycardia. Again, the focus is coming from different places in the atrium, multifocal, atrial, and it's over 100, tachycardia. It's not necessarily hard. A few ectopic beats to mention real quick before we wrap this up. A PAC is just simply a premature atrial contraction. So for whatever reason, your heart kind of has an early atrial contraction. I just explained what it is with itself. But that atrium contracts earlier than it's supposed to, earlier than what would make it regularly. And so you have a beat that comes in early with a P wave. It's a quick side note on that. You can have a premature atrial contraction without a QRS. It's going to look exactly like a PAC, except no QRS, and you're going to see the heart kind of reset itself. So you're going to have a beat, a P wave that comes in earlier than you expect it, and then you're going to see a little bit of a pause, a very short pause, hopefully, and then the P wave for the next beat. That's a non-conducted PAC. If it's just a PAC, you're going to have a beat, the T wave, the P wave earlier than you expect it, followed by a QRS, T wave, a little bit of a reset, and then we're going to go back into our regular rhythm. If you have that early beat but you don't have a P wave, check to see if that QRS is narrow. If it's narrow, that early beat is coming from the junction. That's PJC, premature junctional contraction. If it's a wide QRS, then that early contraction is coming from the ventricle. Early beat, no P wave, wide, PVC, premature ventricular contraction. Hopefully at this point you got enough of an idea of how the conduction system works that all that reasoning makes sense to you. A couple other things to mention, VTAC, it's ventricular tachycardia. Basically, it's a runaway vent rhythm. That is we need to do something right now. That is not compatible with life for very long. So whether you're a nurse or whether you're an EKG tech or whoever, you better be getting stuff handled as soon as you start to see that. And then last, this also comes up regularly, supraventricular tachycardia, SVT, is the fast heart rate that originates above the AV node. So technically, now that it's used like this, but technically sinus tachycardia is a form of central of SVT. Atrial fib, flutter, all that can be SVT because it all originates above the AV node. But this is normally used for just kind of when your heart has a little bit of a flutter. It's not fib because it's regular. It just has this little like run. And then we're back to normal. So hopefully that explained a lot about how to read an EKG, just like medical imaging or anything else like that, any kind of monitoring or interpretation. It's all about practice, and it's all about just doing it regularly. There's tons of other websites and videos that you can watch to just help you look at more EKGs and more EKGs. I think understanding the conduction system of the heart makes it a lot more accessible. Because it makes more sense. You can see how that system can relate to what you're seeing on the screen. Hope you guys enjoyed this. We're going to be trying to do some more little bonus episodes like this, just with extra information. And I can't wait to I don't know, I'm not going to, but I probably should edit that part out. please share us with your friends, and if you know anyone who has a passing interest in this or is going to school for anything medical or healthcare related, please share us with them. Check us out on the interweb, because we have other cheat sheets and we have tons of articles that cover all sorts of stuff from embryology to pathology. I mean, kind of you name it, as well as advice for going to med school in the Caribbean and med school in general. Thank you guys very much. I need to go study.
Our theme music, Urbana Metronica Wuyan Mix by Spinning Mercada, is copyright 2011, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. This show is not affiliated or endorsed in any way with St. James School of Medicine. He just goes there. The Art of Med School podcast is part of the Art of Med School Network. For more information, find us on the web at artofmedschool.com.